Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Well, next week is Black Tech Week. Innovators, investors, and entrepreneurs of color from all over the country will meet here in Miami. We're going to hear about what's coming up next week with the co-founder, Felicia Hatcher. It is such a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
All right. Well, you know what? I mean, anybody who's never been, how do you describe it?
You know, we like to describe it as a family reunion, right? And
okay.
So that means a number of things.
Now, that could be a bad thing, too. Some family
I know,
reunions,
right?
Okay.
Bad potato salad. Like, why is that potato salad green? Oh, my gosh. But, you know, for a lot of us in this space, right? And that means a number of things, from techies to entrepreneurs to ecosystem builders. A lot of us see each other in passing at different conferences, right? And so my goal for Black Tech Week is always like, I need all of you to come to Miami. So in one sense, that's where we talk about it as a family reunion. The other part of that is like, you know, the moments that we have there, right? From the people that come, the speakers that are there, and the variety of the conversations, right? Anywhere from talking about Jay-Z and Beyonce and their daughter at the Grammys to talking about cryptocurrency and everything in between. And I feel like those are real family conversations that happen, but it just happens to be a tech conference. And the other reason we call it that is we want people to come as they are, right? It's not this like crazy high level tech conference where I don't know where I fit in. Like, there's literally something for everyone. And that's why it's a week as opposed to like a 1 day conference.
I wanted to ask you this first, is I wanted to get your take on how do you rate Miami and South Florida in general when it comes to tech? I mean, you know, look, a lot of cities want to be the next Silicon Valley,
right?
But you know, come on. But where are we as a region in the world in this?
You know, I think we fare pretty well across the United States, right? Across the globe, maybe a whole other story. But you know, I think what people don't realize is like, there's been a concentrated effort around building Miami's like tech and startup ecosystem over about the past 5 years, right? Like Knight Foundation kind of said, you know, we are going to put money behind this, resources behind making sure that like our tech community is competitive as any other tech community, right? Silicon Valley, New York, Boulder, Colorado, like I can rattle off a number of cities. And so it's only been a 5-year concentrated effort. So I want people to kind of keep that in mind, right? But within those 5 years, we've seen a lot happen. You know, we have a pretty robust startup ecosystem here. There have been some number of like major exits here. People look to Miami not as just a vacation town, but like somewhere I can come and actually like really do business and deals are done. And money is kind of being like transferred in a number of ways, right? As far as angel investments and VCs, venture capitalist funding. But you're starting to see a lot here. Is it at the same level as some other cities that we've mentioned? No. Right. But we also have to be a little bit more patient because like our ecosystem has not come full circle either. Like there's still a lot of things that are missing in order to bring it full circle.
Let's talk about one of the things that's missing really is having a big tech company, a huge tech company. And of course, that talk that goes to Amazon.
Right. Right.
And we've talked a lot about Amazon, you know, on the station about Amazon possibly coming here. We're one of the regions in the running. If we get it, what would that mean?
You know, if we get it, it'll be transformational for Miami, right? One, just the sheer number of jobs. Two, just their presence, right? Like, this has been a very public, like, bidding war. And with that comes a really nice kind of, like, mantle you can put Miami on if we do win this, right?
But and by the way, it's not just Miami. It's obviously
South Florida, right? South the Tri-County Florida. Area bid. I totally forgot.
That's okay. I'll remember them. That's okay.
But hopefully it, like, lands in Miami,
okay.
Right? As far as, like, the physical presence. But it does mean a lot. And I think for us, like, with the work that we do with our young people, the adults that we interface with our programming, being able to have a major tech company here that people recognize, because everyone almost interfaces with Amazon one way or the other. There are a lot of tech companies that are here that are not as known. And so for a young person to say, hey, I'm going to pursue this field because I can see Amazon, it's in my backyard, it's a part of the conversation, I'm interfacing with these kind of people every single day, that's really important. But then, you know, Facebook has an office here in Brickell, and so does Uber, right? Not the driver office, but their real office. And we've had to take kids during the summer to their offices because they had just no idea, right? And so those things becoming reality here makes it very viable for students to stay here and grow here because the possibilities are here.
All right. So, you know, obviously one of the things during Black Tech Week would be to show off, you know, life in South Florida and maybe to, you know, entice companies to want to come here. They may not all be the size of Amazon, but what are some of the challenges of enticing companies to come to South Florida, especially the Miami area?
Yeah, I mean, Miami still suffers from a perception issue, right? So the perception is business doesn't really get done here, right? Like everyone's on the beach or like doing at the bar or wherever, you know? So we do have to fight against that quite a bit. Again, like we've had some exits here, but they haven't been huge exits. And so, or enough, right, exit. So that's also a challenge that we have to fight. But, you know, if you talk about the cost of living here, while it is rising for residents that are here, it's still not as high as some of the other areas that are vying for talent or looking for locations to relocate to give a better quality of life to their employees. So there's a lot of pluses here for people that are looking. You know, and we get a lot of those people that are coming from other areas to Miami during Black Tech Week that are saying, hey, you know, we can have a satellite office here. It gives us a closer proximity to the Caribbean. It gives us a closer proximity to Latin America. We can also find a more diverse talent pool here. And so there's a lot of pluses, but then there are challenges, right? So transportation is an issue. Our education system is an issue. So you know, there's a give and take with both.
We've heard about over the years, the challenges that women have in the tech world. We don't hear the story about what it's like for minorities, but especially for African Americans in the tech world.
Yeah, there are a lot of challenges, right? So, I mean, that's why we started Black Tech Week. We started it for two reasons. One, to increase the number of African-American and Caribbean people that are entering the tech space from a career standpoint, and then also launching startups, because we need both of those two things to happen. And so from a funding standpoint, there are a lot of issues, right? It's not for a lack of ideas in the Black community. It's for a lack of resources and a lack of deal flow. And I always give people the prime example. Like, you look at crowdfunding platforms, Kickstarter, Indiegogo, GoFundMe. Like, the Black community crowdfunds every Sunday in the Black church, right? Passing the plate. And, you know, my family's from Jamaica, and so we partner as a collective kind of peer way of, like, raising money, right? And being able to fund our dreams. Throughout the continent of Africa for generations, it's been called SUSU. So that kind of utility of, like, peer-to-peer giving us money to end up to, like, the big goal that we're trying to get to, that's not new to our community. What's new is, one, people valuing ideas, because we've always kind of created these ideas out of necessity of problem solving, but valuing our ideas, us also valuing our ideas, and then putting a technology overlay on top of that idea so that it can reach a global audience. That becomes the difference and not the ideas.
I'm going to put you on the spot here. I don't have a lot of time, but I am curious about what are we doing? Because you're big on coding and teaching coding. What are we doing wrong and right in education with our kids when it comes to tech?
There's a few things. You know, we can go and talk about, like, the college push. And
That's another show.
Okay. We'll come back for that, right? But one of the biggest things that we're doing, you know, coding is important. It's vocational training. It allows vocational training to be sexy again. But we're missing the boat in just kind of thinking about, like, basic digital literacy. And I think that's a challenge with what we've looked at of the output of what coding programs, especially youth coding programs, should be putting out. When we have students inside their classrooms every single day that are not utilizing technology the way that they should. So when they go to after school programs or community programs like Code Fever, like Codella, like all these other programs, that they can actually get to the other side within an accelerated bootcamp model. And so we have students that we work with that first day, they have no idea where the backspace button is. And so we have to be making sure that we are pushing basic digital literacy training across the board when they're in the classrooms, and so that they can be better students and be more competitive outside the classroom when they enter these accelerated bootcamp models.
And something interesting you told me before was it's not just being able to code, but it's even understanding how to use the keyboard.
Yeah, how to use the keyboard, the analytical and logistical thinking that comes with learning how to code and learning about technology and digital literacy. You know, our students index really high on using it from a social standpoint, but then also showing them career paths while they're still young, right? Like, you can be a social media manager instead of working at McDonald's. And I'm not knocking McDonald's because that was my first job when I was 16, right? But there's so many different things that our young people and their parents can do. And there's so many opportunities, not just our program, but cybersecurity programs. It runs the board here.
Tell people real quickly where they could find more information about Black Tech Week.
So blacktechweek.com is where you can find more information about the conference.
All right. And she's Felicia Hatcher. She's the co-founder of Black Tech Week. We got to get you back in and talk about some education
stuff. We do.
All right, definitely. Thank you so much for being here. All right, that's the end of the program for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, you can always find us online at WLRN.org and find our podcast on iTunes. Just look up WLRN Sundial. Tomorrow, we're going to hear from both candidates running for mayor in Fort Lauderdale, Bruce Roberts and Dean Trantalis. That's coming up tomorrow on the program. Again, thanks so much for listening. I'm Luis Hernandez. Talk to you tomorrow.